So we had an arm wrestling contest, and Matt Law, MG, lost. So we're taking over the show.
Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
We have a fantastic show tonight. We actually have two guests in the show with us today.
Two whole guest stars.
One of them has been, he's been on the show before, and another one is sort of new to radio. He's heard radio. You've heard radio, right, Russell?
You've heard of radio.
Once or twice.
Yeah. We have Russell.
Oh, this is brand new technology.
Are we about to play Miley Cyrus?
No, not yet. We may
we'll
get to that.
We'll talk later, too. Don't
we
worry.
We do have
we'll
some
that.
New Weird Al later in the show. And they
so
do have
happy
that,
about
they do
that.
They do have that polka song. We've got Russell, and we've got Cap. Cap, say hello.
I'm back.
He's back. Cap is back. We have these two guys in the show because for our main segment, we're going to cut right to it after these two short segments. But in our main segment, we're going to talk about the evolution.
Yeah, like the same format that we always do.
Yeah, I mean, it's not new. We're giving away it's cutting edge. We're giving away the ending first.
Bleeding edge.
We're going to do that. We got these two guys in the show because we're going to collectively go through the evolution of our experiences with certain types of games, MMOs, sandbox, theme parks, things like that. And culminate in sort of where we're at today and where we're going with games like Destiny and Star Citizen and et cetera, et cetera. So before we get too deep into that, Bear, what's the website?
That's exppoints.com. Always double tap the P.
It's pretty awesome because we have social media that you can go to, Facebook, Twitter, Google+, YouTube, even a Steam group, and we made it much easier to actually access all of those things. You can just go to exppoints.com/the social media of your choice. So /Twitter/Facebook.
We need to make that
Steam.
Extension. /the social media of your choice.
Oh, yeah, that's really
it
long.
It gives you a random one or something.
So, yeah, you want to check us out on Twitter? exppoints.com/Twitter. You want to check us out on Facebook? exppoints.com/Facebook. Steam, Google Plus, with the actual plus
Steam.
Sign. Yeah, /Steam.
We're
to
on
get,
Steam?
To get
MySpace?
The,
no one tells
to get the, we don't
Ooh.
Do MySpace.
Why
oh.
don't we?
We're not a band. That's why
well,
we're
we
not.
We should be.
So, yeah, you can go ahead and check out all of that. We're always adding new and crazy content because we're lifelong nerds and we have a lot of stuff to geek out about. Like this. We said we're going to have new Weird Al. This is off of his new album, Mandatory Fun. It like dropped 2 or 3 days ago.
Oh, yeah. It dropped Tuesday on Mandatory Fun Day.
Oh, yeah, was
God,
that it?
Pay attention, Matt.
So it dropped it dropped Tuesday, and, you know, it's really awesome. It's on Spotify. It's on iTunes. You should check it out.
It's on CDs, even.
He's going to be, I think,
store.
This is his last one, he said. This is his last
did
one he's going to be
that?
Doing. Yeah,
or
he said.
Is this like a Matt MG
No, 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 for real,
fact.
For real. He did an NPR interview. He said, this is probably the last time Weird Al will release 12 songs at once. Before this, it was always an album and an album and an album, very old school. Forth going, like everything past this is going to be singles. You know, he might release an EP, but that's how it's going to be because this is like 12 songs, 12 full featured. You know, it's a full album. So he is,
believe you.
He is done with that. So he says, but this is also sort of the end of his label, like the end of his contract with his label. So that may coincide with a few things.
Well, he's also doing the rollout of a new video every week or yep. every day for like 8 days.
He just did Tacky with
he did
Jack
Tacky
Black
was
and a few
the
other
first
people.
One. And then Word Crimes
yep.
came out yesterday.
Yep. So lots of really cool stuff from him. We're going to play Foil by Weird Al Yankovic. This is off of Mandatory Fun. You're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
I never seem to finish all my food. There's a big conspiracy.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
That was Weird Al Yankovic with Foil. We got Cap and Russell in the studio in addition to the, I guess, the normal two people that are normally in the studio.
Yeah. In addition to Matt, there's actually other people here.
Yeah.
We
what?
Talk every now and then.
Who knew?
Who knew
I know,
this?
Right? We're in edgewise.
We're going to hit in our retro game. This is Donkey Kong Country. Bear, take it away.
All right. Well, like Matt said, we're doing Donkey Kong Country, published by Nintendo. Developed by Rare, released in the United States or North America, as everyone else knows it, on November 21st, 1994.
Now, Donkey Kong's got a pretty, like, illustrious history. It first came out for Super Nintendo, and then it eventually came out for, like, a version of it, at least, came out for Game Boy,
for
Color,
Game Boy Color,
Game Boy Advance.
And now you get on your Wii Virtual Console.
Yep, and I think on the Wii U Virtual Console as well.
I would imagine so.
But yeah, so
silly
you played as Donkey Kong. Not like
spoilers, Matt.
I'm sorry.
He the whole game. I don't
takes
care.
Over the country. No, so this is the same Donkey Kong that took Princess Peach and
threw barrels
and built
Mario.
A bunch of scaffolding and threw barrels. Yeah.
But the problem is, this time someone has taken his hoard of bananas.
He's a good guy now.
Oh, so he's a good guy.
Technically.
Is he good? Just like missing bananas?
He's dressed up, too. He's got a tie.
Mm-hmm. That's how you know he went legit. He's bringing
his son. Obviously, he found Mrs. Kong. Or he's a nice guy and adopted. Yeah, okay, fair enough. That's cool, too. Anyway, I remember, let's just talk about the gameplay of this game. For the time, this game looked pretty awesome, right? Like, it had these kind of pseudo 3D graphics. It was still sprites, but it reminded me of, like...
Everything was shiny. That's what I remember about it.
Yeah, it did have this...
It tried to do the lighting effects.
It had this isometric type of, like idle animation to everything, where the bananas would just kind of, like, dance around on the branches, and the crocs? Like, the croc enemies would... not the shoes, but, like, the actual crocodile-type enemies.
I actually want them reskinned as the shoe.
They would just bumble around, and they would have this really fluid animation to them. And for 1991 or 94?
I had to pay attention at the beginning. Geez.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
1994.
Yep, 1994. For 1994, that was pretty cool, I think. You know, there weren't a lot of games that were doing it. There was Super Mario RPG, which came out around the same time. It did a similar isometric sort of, you know, third, I guess, three-quarter turn, top-down view, which was neat at the time, but no, Donkey Kong Country kind of took it away. Now, it is the first, but it's not the only game in the series. For Super Nintendo, they had, what, three?
I think there were three. They came out with three Donkey Kong Countries. I mean, there's other Donkey Kong games, including the horrible Congo game.
That was for GameCube, right?
GameCube? I think that was Wii.
Donkey Konga?
Donkey Kongo, I think, was GameCube.
Yeah, it was GameCube, because you had that ridiculous controller. Now, since then, they came out with Donkey Kong, the Big Freeze, or is that maybe a Land Before Time movie, I think? That's a Land Before Time
movie. The latest one?
Yeah.
Because one just came out for Wii U, I believe.
Land Before Time or Donkey Kong?
Make me buy the Wii U.
I don't remember the title. All I know is it's extremely long.
Yeah, I know it was a
very long title.
It was a big... what was it? I can't remember. Anyway, Super Nintendo version, fantastic
Donkey
game.
Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze for Wii U.
Is that
Saga?
Was there one that wasn't for Wii U? Like, was there one for Wii?
There was one for Wii. I believe, if I remember this correctly, they might have come out with a Donkey Kong Country game for the 3DS when the 3DS was doing poorly. Because there's a trend. The 3DS did poorly, and then they released a set of games. They released a new Zelda, I think a new Donkey Kong, and some other things. The Wii U was doing poorly, and they redid games. That.
Right. They used the same IPs that made the other consoles do so well.
Both times.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's a tried and true formula. It'd be great to come up with better and newer things, but whatever. So for N64, there was actually a Donkey Kong 64.
Yes.
And
yeah, on the N64, they like to do that with everything. They just called whatever. 64.
Star Fox 64, Mario 64,
Donkey Kong 64.
They didn't do Zelda, but I mean, I feel like they could have. It was pretty much the same thing. They also had Diddy Kong Racing. I think it was called Diddy Kong Racing.
I believe so.
Diddy Kong is Donkey Kong's son. And in the second and third Donkey Kong games, I guess in the first, second, and third Donkey Kong games, just the first and second one, Diddy Kong was in it.
The first and second, you play as Diddy.
Diddy was the second player.
The first one, you play as Donkey
Kong.
Well, I mean, they're all
Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong was player one. Diddy Kong was player two. In the second
one,
Diddy Kong was
player one. And Daisy?
Dixie.
Dixie.
Dixie Kong.
Dixie Kong was player two.
The girl Kong.
And the third one,
Daisy and
Dixie. You just corrected me. Dixie Kong was player one.
And then what was the big one?
The big baby.
The big baby one.
It was a new character for number three.
Yeah. This was one of Rare's biggest and best titles. Rare, well-known for Killer Instinct and Donkey Kong.
And currently owned by Microsoft.
Yeah, Rare kind of sold out. They had to.
Out to Microsoft?
They were going under pretty hard.
The Donkey Kong countries were fun.
I love that. Actually, was a reason to get a Super Nintendo right there, for no other reason than to play Donkey Kong Country.
They did this pretty cool way of cross marketing too, where people would dress up like Donkey Kong.
That's called cosplay.
They did it with Crash Bandicoot. They did it with Mario. They did it with Star Fox.
It's called cosplay.
It's before they did it for marketing purposes back in the 90s. So
it would have been cooler if they got real gorillas.
Yeah,
I agree with Cap.
I'm pretty sure
would be all over that though.
I'm pretty sure that would have been illegal even then in the 90s.
Even in the 90s.
It has an extensive soundtrack that was actually released, DK Jams. We're not going to play anything off of that, but You know,
I'm going to tell you all about it and how it's awesome.
Yeah. In fact, we are going to we're going to cut to another song so we can get to our main segment. So we can fully utilize the Russell and the Cap. They're just sitting around collecting dust right now. This is
Wow, that's mean.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is Endless Fantasy by Anamanaguchi. You're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KASLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
I'm Cap.
I'm ha. Russell.
And we got Russell. That was Endless Fantasy by Anamanaguchi. All right, so yeah, our big segment this time, and it may take like multiple shows. We don't know. We haven't really decided yet. We're going to start at the very sort of beginning of our collective gaming knowledge sort of massively, or not massive, but you know, multiplayer knowledge.
Bro, we played Mud.
We just have so much
Mud.
Knowledge.
Love Mud.
Mud. Yeah, so much knowledge to share.
So, Russell, what is a Mud?
A MUD is a text-based game where you get together and all kill each other by typing things really, really fast.
And angrily.
Okay.
Use caps lock if you want emphasis.
So what for people to search for at home, because I played one MUD. I can't even remember the name of it. Wow. And it wasn't much fun. I didn't enjoy it. Like, it was something I would never do again.
Oh, man, they were a blast back when you had no graphics to look at.
Dwarf Fort. That's not a MUD.
No,
is
that's
it?
Not
that's,
a MUD.
That's just an annoying game.
It's an annoying hard game. No, a MUD is like you said, all tech. It's basically it's like D&D or something, but on a computer
or something. What was the example though? Like, what was an example of a game? Like, no, give me like a name of a game like that y'all
I
played.
Can't remember
well, I played Age of Chaos, which is based off the book series The Wheel of Time.
Oh, okay.
So all right. The very first MUD I played.
If Marcus got you into it, then yes.
Yes, that's what I played, Age of Chaos.
Yeah.
I got in and played Shadow Games because I went to school here and a lot of the people in there played Shadow Games. So we all got together and killed a bunch of people. But that was a God Wars MUD. It was one of the first God Wars MUDs.
So it was a game where everybody got into sort of like a big chat room and play the game via that way. Is that correct?
No, it's really not. You're in a particular room. So the way the game was programmed, you were in a place doing a thing. So you could be in there and you could fight whatever NPC guy got spawned in the room, or you could sleep or sit or eat or, you know, depending on what you do. But if you're in this room, nobody else around you could see what you were doing.
Okay.
They had to be in the room with you to see that you were eating or sleeping, or if they wanted to fight you or you wanted to fight them or anything else. You had to be in that same room together. And then you would move north, south, east, west, sometimes up and down later on. And that's how the movement got you around, and you hunted down. And the worlds were pretty static. So you, after a while, you learned, you know, 7 east, 4 south, 3 west got you into Dead Midgard or whatever it was.
Oh, okay, so
then.
it was at some point you just had a rotation, or you had just a script that you
right.
would
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, there were scripts all over these.
I definitely macroed the crap out of that game.
The way I understood it is that it would build sort of like the map in the background. It would be these blocks. And then you
there are programs that you could use to do that.
Yeah.
They would follow your steps, and it would honestly just kind of draw a line wherever you went. That way you could kind of
sort of like a map, like a map.
Mapping tool.
Yeah,
mapping
okay.
Tool.
All right. That makes a lot of sense. So let's kind of fast forward a little bit. So we had MUDs, and we're moving forward. Now we're in 2D-based graphics. We were talking during the break while Endless Fantasy was going on about Ultima Online. And that wasn't the first, but we kind of did decide it was like the first.
Yeah, it was
big
the first
one.
Big one.
Yeah.
That's
so
what really pushed
everything. Let's describe that a little bit. Let's talk about it. Because there's a good chance that people listening at home, if you were born in the 90s, you never played Ultima Online, ever.
Well, it's still out. People are still playing it, but
is it free to play now, or is it?
I don't know.
We should look. We should figure that out. But anyway, describing Ultima Online.
So when I played Ultima, it was a touch past what I would probably call their heyday, but I got in and got on a server that didn't have a lot of houses on it because I really, really, really wanted a big tower keep type thing, and that was a big thing in Ultima was the housing.
So that's good. So you could create your own house, you could create your own castle?
Yeah, you bought a deed, and you had to have land to plant it on. There was only so many places that you could plant these, and if you wanted a keep was the biggest one, I believe. You had to have a big parcel of land that nobody else had anything on. And on the older servers, that just wasn't possible. There was little houses everywhere and small towers and everything else. So if you got in one of the, I think AOL Legends was the last one. You had to be on an AOL account to play it. And I had AOL at the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, lots of dial-up going on there.
Well, it was a lot of free hours. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You had,
I had like a zillion forever.
By the time you would run out of internet, they'd mail you another, you know, CD.
But I was very excited because you got on there and there was only, you know, a handful of players compared to a lot of the other servers. There was all this land. And I'm like, yes, now I can get my huge tower that I always wanted.
Manifest Destiny.
I stood in it and said, yes, I have a huge tower. But that's about the level of excitement.
You can do all the cool
But it was a cool game. It had actually a system that I haven't seen repeated in a lot of other places, was you had a group of skills and you could have 7 skills up to max level, I want to say. And you could actually push those up and down sort of in scaling. So if you wanted to be the very best at something, you could do that. But then you may have to drop something else down to make that match. So like if you wanted a mage that wore plate mail, you could do that in that game. I had a full mage that walked around with a katana in black plate mail, and I was bad, son.
But you were hurting somewhere else because of that.
Right. It was always a trade-off. So
you couldn't jump.
Plate mail, you never jump. But
you practically were on your knees the entire game.
So the game had a very big PvP element to it, and then later they ended up flipping that out where a lot of the people went over to the PvE world. It was a mirror world. I think it was Tremel and Felucia. And
it was kind of like a safe PvE and then
PvP. It was an exact mirror, but there was no PvP unless you were really doing something tricksy. But there was a portal you could jump through, and as soon as you went through that portal and got to the other side, somebody killed you with a dagger.
There are people waiting there. Welcome to PvP.
Welcome to PvP land.
Stab. Every dagger to the chest.
So most of the people when I played, they played in the PvE zones, and you had a handful of brave souls that would hunt each other down and kill each other.
See, I didn't know it was that that big. I played for a little bit, but it was only like it was right whenever we started to get internet, and I kind of gave up on playing that because I didn't understand it and it was hard. And Cap and I actually played Tibia. Which is a free, it's sort of free. It's like a freemium based game where you can pay and get extra stuff or whatever. But it's very much the same. It's 2D, top down.
It's one of those faux 3D.
It was like they're trying to, they looked like they were trying to do Ultima Online, just with a new engine, with new people,
Very blocky.
A lot of Brazilians, a lot of Portuguese and Brazilian people in there, but it was very much the same way.
Very grindy game.
Yeah, we were talking about sort of before the show started about sandbox, theme park, aspects of certain games, and Cap and I sort of agreed from playing it that there wasn't a strong quest kind of system in it.
The game had quests as a very loose topic. There was no place
they were like tacked
you
on
your quest.
They were
just kind of like, oh, I found this book and it has some kind of riddle about bringing the book to some guy. When you brought it there, you would just get some rewards.
You would get
some,
you would get your loot.
You wouldn't get experience or anything.
Right. It was. It seemed like something.
You did a quest and didn't get anything for it.
You got like a sword. You got some money.
You got something.
You didn't get a stat booster or anything.
I don't think Ultima had any quests. I don't remember any quests.
You were in it for the experiences that sort of. It was like a emergent type of gameplay. Sort of. It was the guilds that you formed. It was going to take down the behemoth or the cyclops.
Yeah, there
or
wasn't
the
a lot of
trolls or whatever of the monsters.
So you would go in and like, oh, I'm a level 10. Can I fight this thing? Let's find out.
Right.
And that's how it was. You just had to guess. I just ran from everything.
It was very much like you described the MUDs as being sort of like there's a script to everything. Like it was the same thing. You would go in, you would know exactly how to kite this thing after a while. There wasn't a lot of the AI was very rudimentary. And maybe it has to be that way because it was a 2D based game and an engine that was very, I guess, it was kind of pandering around the idea of. It can only move in one block at a time. It couldn't move diagonal blocks a lot of the time. There were very special circumstances for movement and things like that. We're going to cut to a song, and then we're going to come back so we can finish talking about this awesome topic. This is No Strings by IFI Dragons. They're actually on Warped Tour, if you're interested.
Man, there's so many good people on Warped Tour.
Yeah, that's really awesome. We should have gone. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
I'm Cap.
I'm Russell.
And this is Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM.
KSLU. Woo!
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
I'm Cap.
I'm Russell.
That was No Strings by IFI Dragons. That's off their new album, The Near Future. It's pretty awesome. I really like the way that sounds. And we've played them like a lot on experience points.
When's that new album come out?
The near future comes out in the near future.
Release date.
I think
we're working in Valve time.
It's
now.
In August or September. They keep dropping like here's a single, here's another single, here's another album.
They don't release singles till the entire album's out.
For those that don't remember, Project Atma, which is what the near future's working title was. Project Atma was their kickstarted album. They made so much more money than they actually needed, and they almost broke up the band over having all this money
and
all these creative differences for it. It's really cool. Go to the IFI Dragons. I think it's ifdblog.com or something. Just search for IFI Dragons and go to their website, look at the blog, read some of the backdated posts, and you'll see like they went through some rocky waters, I guess, as far as
rocky waters.
Rocky waters sounds like a drink, like a type of
a 70 song.
Oh, it does it. On to EverQuest.
The game my mother wouldn't buy me.
EverQuest 1 has been out for a really long time. And I think they shut EverQuest 1 servers down. But EverQuest 2 is still going. It went free to play, actually, recently.
And they're also getting a research. They're doing something new, I've heard.
Like a reboot or something?
They're doing something with it. I can't remember what. Well, I was talking about this literally today.
Yes, you're talking about it right now, actually.
Earlier today.
Oh, okay.
One of my coworkers.
A couple seconds ago, in fact.
Much older guy, and he played EverQuest a lot. And he's told me all these stories about EverQuest and how it was the first, what he says is the first big MMO that like everyone was playing.
Right.
So it was the first painful grind. What you kind of picture now is MMO, this is easy mode. That was hard mode back then.
You see, it's funny that you said that because we've talked about it a little bit on the show. We've graced the topic about how World of Warcraft will just cut to the end game real quick for a minute, that World of Warcraft today is much easier than World of Warcraft 9-10 years ago was.
Oh, yeah. I played the beta. I had a fishing paladin in the beta, which was terrible loads of fun. And then when the game went live, it still took us a long time to get up to.
But I mean, we complain about how much easier it is from the game, the previous version of itself today. And you're saying that it was harder than that for EverQuest because it essentially was like the game that introduced. Yeah. It was introduced all of these leveling mechanics like grinding until you were ready to do something.
EverQuest was just straight up sadism. I mean, hundreds of hours of waiting for things to happen.
Nice.
You want to hit life? Play EverQuest.
Yeah, it was that bad. But it was the only thing out there of that kind at that time. And everybody thought it was the bee's knees cool.
So I never played EverQuest, and I never played EverQuest 2. Was EverQuest 2, to your knowledge, like, was that just a different story? Was that like the, was it a, because it didn't replace it. They ran in tandem. They ran together. It was EverQuest 1 and EverQuest 2. So, I mean.
I stayed so far away from EverQuest, I couldn't even tell you. I stayed on Ultima
Online. No one at this table played EverQuest.
Well, you know what? We fondly remember not playing it.
Yeah, I was.
I must say, that's what I'm getting. Everyone here remembers not playing
it. I bought
EverQuest.
It. I owned it, held it in my hand, and talked to a buddy of mine, and he said, don't do it.
Don't do it.
So I said, okay.
You got the needle in your arm. He's like, dude, don't do it.
So I kept playing Ultima for a little while, and then jumped over to Dark Age of Camelot right after it came out.
Okay.
And
we can go to that.
Every time I've ever heard anyone talk about EverQuest and how they used to play EverQuest, they would say these things, and I'm like, why would anyone want to do that?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I played this monk class, and you could just do all this, and no one could do anything. I'm like, why would you want to play that?
Well, I feel like, I feel like maybe there was some story. Maybe. It was more sandbox than theme park.
I was told about these raids EverQuest used to have. 100-man raids.
Yeah.
Literally 100-man raids.
Well, that's not that. That's not that great because WoW had 60-man raids.
40.
Yeah.
Okay, so fine.
I think that's ridiculous. You know, that many people together at once.
We would have way bigger relic raids than that in Dark Age of Camelot.
Well, I've never played that game either.
Well, let's go ahead and cut to Dark Age of Camelot. Give us a premise. What's the point of Dark Age of Camelot?
So Dark Age of Camelot is the best PvP game ever.
I hear it's a pretty good PvP game.
Best. Let me reiterate.
We just looked it up.
So the trick to this, and I don't know why anyone else hasn't done it. They had three realms, Midgard, Hibernia, and Albion. If you ever had one realm that got bigger than the others, the other two would just team up on them. People would get tired of one, they'd re-roll to another, and it was just this cyclical thing. But in PvP in that game, so each realm had their own starting area and their own place where they leveled, and then each realm also had a frontier. In your starting area, there was no PvP. It was PvE all day long, and then once you got ready to go PvP, then you went out to the frontiers. Everybody agreed upon where they were going to fight pretty much, E-Main, and they went out there and fought, and they would take keeps every group had six or seven keeps, and then every group had two relics. And the relics are what really made it, because if you owned all the relics, you got plus 20%, something like that, to your damage for melee or magic, depending on which relics you had. So it would actually affect your PvE game on the back. You could go back and roll another character, and all of a sudden you're doing way more damage in melee because you went out and took the relics.
There was a benefit to getting these things.
Right. So you actually had a point to PvP versus games like, you know, you go out and do World of Warcraft PvP, you're getting honor, which you then spend on gear, which you then buy, and a week later they give you better gear and you redo the whole thing. Mm. And it really has no point. It's just this cycle that you keep doing. But the relics and the keeps and you know, the 8-man action and stuff like that is really what made PvP and Dark Age of Camelot what it was.
Did Dark Age of Camelot have any compelling story, or was it more or less just... The story was there if you cared enough about it, but you didn't need to.
Each realm had its own story, I would say. So Albion was Knights of the Round Table. Hibernia was elves and stuff like
so
that.
So the realms in this case are like factions or like, you know.
Sort of. Okay. Yeah, if you want to look at it as like Alliance and Horde, except there was a third one. And Midgard was like the
Alliance,
trolls,
Horde, and Republicans.
Yeah.
So there was just like this one area where all three just kind of clash and smash together.
All three of those frontiers connected to each other in different ways, and you would just go out and PvP, and it was the greatest thing ever.
Have you played Guild Wars 2?
No, I keep hearing good things about
their,
it. And
their PvP system reminds me a lot of what you're describing. Yeah. They connect three. It changes, I think, every week. They connect three realms together, and then there's just one battleground area where each realm has an island that they're all connected, and you just kind of all smash together and go and collect orbs and bring them back to your area. And it's hundreds of people all at once, all together, smashing their faces against each other.
Well, I
that's all it was.
Isn't that the end of Braveheart?
Yeah,
that's all
freedom.
Braveheart.
Wait, William Wallace. All about freedom.
Yep.
But I liked the PvP because at that point, not only were you leveling up, you know, you'd already leveled to 50. Now you're leveling up your realm rank, which gives you extra abilities, and you kind of customize your character along the way. But your PvP has a point. You know, you can go out and do a relic raid. And there were a lot of late night ninja raids because there wasn't enough people on to defend. You know, people would alarm clock their raids at 3 o'clock in the morning to go out and get the relics.
That's smart.
And the but there, like, there was objects in the world. Yes.
There was a real world type of dedication to this versus just scheduling yourself to do this thing that is going to reset all the time for you. It's like world bosses used to be in World of Warcraft.
It's why I did World of Warcraft PvP for a long time. I did it back when it was the hardcore. You had to rank up, you know, at the beginning, and you had to play so many hours to even have a chance of getting a rank. But it just never, you never get that feeling of there's a point to this. You know, it's just
a grind. Fine. Look, hold your horses, because we're going to hate on WoW when we come back. We're actually going to cut to a break real quick.
Stay tuned for the WoW hate.
Yeah, we're going to hate on WoW because
Can I wait? Can I hate on the EVE beta before we get to that? Because that was before World of Warcraft.
Yeah, let's hate on the EVE beta. Sure, let's go ahead and throw that out. We'll postpone the musical selection. All right, let's go. EVE. EVE is a nice sandbox space MMO that, you know, you... Yeah, I guess you're a character. You're a pilot that can own several ships.
Right. In EVE, you essentially wear your ship as armor, and when the ship gets blown up, you just go
get another armor.
Yeah, get another ship.
They give you a ship. They're like, sorry, your ship blowed up. Here's a smaller ship.
Yeah, they give you a ship if you have like a billion ISK, but... It depends on what ship you want.
No, they always give you like the smallest ship.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Here you go. It's got one button. It's a go button. You just push it. You go wherever you want.
Yeah.
You can't do anything. Oh, and here's one mineral. Like,
so when I finally left Dark Age of Camelot the first time, I went to the EVE beta. I got in like beta 2, which was very early on. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And I got in one of the biggest corporations that they had in the game. And we were having forum wars, and it was great. But then you got in the game and it was a beta. You know, I'm not going to trash on a beta too much, because a beta is a beta. But, you know, we would shoot a gun at each other and it would disconnect everybody, and you couldn't use drones.
That's a powerful weapon right there. It's a lag gun.
And I mean, I still have an active account today in EVE, and I actually have 5 in EVE. Yeah. I think I had 5.
Because you were a big multi-boxer. You multi-boxed Daok, WoW, and EVE.
Yeah, I didn't multi-box Dark Age of Camelot early on. That kind of came later when I switched to the Lancelot server and met some guys there, and we just started farming and kept going, and I got 2 accounts, and I got 3, then I got 5, and... Then I went
to gateway drug.
Eventually. Yeah, it was very much a gateway. When you blow somebody up in one move, you're like, that's the coolest thing ever, and I'm going to keep doing this.
But, nice.
Yeah, EVE came out
It came out like 2001, 2002, yeah. maybe?
3 years before World of Warcraft, maybe?
World of Warcraft came out in 2005, I believe.
Okay.
Late or mid 2005.
So I went through the beta and I was so trashed out of EVE by that point that I left and went back to Dark Age of Camelot and didn't come back to EVE until 2004, 2005.
Yeah.
Well, that's something we talked about, early access to games. By the time the game comes out, sometimes you're already burned out on that game.
That's what, before it was betas when the game was broken. Now it's alphas where you pay for it and the game's broken and you...
I see that in Kickstarters now as, you know, we'll give you beta access. We'll give you alpha access. You know, give us $250 and you'll get in beta 1 or beta 2. And I'm like, don't do it. You're just going to burn yourself out on something that's not going
to
matter.
Russell and I both played like Prison Architect just to talk about an early access game. And like, you know, within the first week and a half, I think you had mastered the game pretty much. All your prisoners were happy and content. And
I had maximum security heaven.
Right. It was maximum
security heaven.
Yeah,
wow. That sounds like a, I'm not going to lie. That sounds like a rock song or a rock band. We're getting long. Let's go ahead and cut to a song real quick. This is MC Frontalot with Power User. MC Frontalot's actually coming to Baton Rouge. If you're interested, Baton Rouge and New Orleans, I think September 17th or September 11th. You'd have to check. But he's definitely coming here, an entire like East Coast, bottom, southern to West Coast tour with his new album, which is really awesome. And he's releasing new stuff, I think, weekly on that. Anyway, I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
I'm Cap.
I'm Russell.
And you're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM.
KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is still Experience Points. I'm still MG.
I'm still Red Bear.
I'm still Cap.
I'm Russell.
Power User by MC Frontalot. Again, check him out later in September. He's coming to New Orleans and Baton Rouge. It's going to be pretty awesome, demoing some or showing some new stuff. Now it's the time where we get to hate on WoW. We're not going to exclusively hate on WoW. World of Warcraft. We're going to talk about some of our experiences, and some of them are going to be mega hate. Who wants to start? Because I know what I'm going to talk about. But
well, then start.
We're talking about hate or love?
We're going to talk about...
It was a good game.
I mean, it still is. I think it would...
No, it was a good game.
Okay, well...
Mr. Rabbit played in two expansions.
I'll put it this way. I've been playing, not since day one, but certainly since like month one. Like when it first came out, the reason I picked it up, I remember very fondly, I was in the best place in the world, Marine Corps training in 29 Palms, California. And I had a PowerBook G4. It was a Mac laptop. And back then, unlike now, thank you, Steam, but unlike now, there were very few games for the Mac laptop or for the Mac operating system, rather. But WoW was by Blizzard, and they did Warcraft and StarCraft, and they were always dual platform, so I could play, you know, all of my old Blizzard games, and then they came out with World of Warcraft, so now I could play World of Warcraft, so certainly I'll pick that up. And there was a few other people in the squad or the platoon that was they were playing it too, so I picked it up and it was awesome, and I began leveling in classic vanilla WoW. And then I believe Cap, like during whenever I came home, you saw me and you were like, gotta give me some of that WoW action.
I actually had Matthew convince my mother to buy me a computer so I could play WoW.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was.
For school.
Yeah. So
we all got you through school.
It was
right?
an investment.
We're playing WoW, and you were still in high school, and I was in college at that time. I was starting college, and it was so hard for me to pull myself away during, like, because classes are weird sometimes, whatever. So you were playing, and you were out leveling me, even though like I was playing, I think, a warlock at the time. I don't know what you were playing. I can't remember.
I thought you were playing a priest.
I was playing a priest, but I always had a warlock. Maybe you were the warlock.
I had a mage.
Okay, you were the mage. Let's just say I was a priest at the time. Anyway, I was getting left behind.
When you're a priest.
I was getting left behind, and I was actually doing worse at school because I was trying to catch up to him, and I'm thinking something's got to give.
Yeah, I couldn't stop.
He was madman. He would come home from
That's every MMO. Time sinks.
And I wanted to spend more time, but I had to stop playing to do my classwork. But then I was looking for add-ons that would help me manage the time better.
The dark days.
Because there were no add-ons. There was one add-on that came out, and it was straight up a bot. It was called Glider. I got banned for using glider. I remember as an Alliance character, as Alliance characters, we were outside Theramore.
I couldn't keep up.
And I would waypoint and kill turtles because the turtles were yellow and they were like two levels higher than me. But if I spaced it out and I healed myself a lot, like overhealed myself
using
the bot, then I could kill as many turtles as I wanted to, or it could. So it would play all night and then it turned itself off.
You were a dirty cheater.
I was just trying to keep up with him. And then he passed him up. So eventually whenever he caught up, I think he was talking to me about
something. I think we all know who reported you.
Yeah.
I report
this
anyone.
Is exactly what happened. We're chatting to each other.
I was a high school student. I didn't think he
chatted to me while I was playing. He was like, "Is it you or are you gliding?" He said something like that.
Wow.
And the next day, banned. I'm sorry, you violated the terms of service. Something happened with your account. And I was like, "I'm sorry, I didn't realize this was bad." And they were like, "No die, son." So that was it. I saved up money and I bought another copy of WoW. And
at least you weren't like invested like five expansions at that point.
I mean, it felt like I had a large investment. It was like
we weren't even max level.
No, we weren't. But it was hard. We were saying earlier, like it's really hard to level in WoW.
Hard.
Well, it was back then. You didn't have mounts.
It's a little more complicated.
You didn't have mounts. Remember the life before mounts?
Mounts at 40.
Was the thing.
Did you?
And if you had enough money?
Yeah, we didn't.
I actually kind of like that aspect. Whenever you saw someone with a mount, you're like, wow, that guy's got a mount.
Right. He's like royalty. Yeah. Might as well be.
And now it's like everyone at level 10, you get a mount? Like
20.
20?
I'm sorry to say I never experienced that early WoW content. And we've talked about it on the show before about maybe they should put up like classic WoW servers and, you know, legitimately. Like I want Blizzard to do it. I don't want to join some jank server and, you know, play like classic WoW and download a custom client.
I've been playing classic WoW, vanilla WoW,
right.
I
want Blizzard to do it. They will do it better than anyone else.
That game was so hard.
I
don't even know if it was just really hard. It's just it was so buggy.
Right. I want them to optimize the engine that they have now, scale it back, take away some of the abilities, and let you go through all of the expansion content in a nice paced way. So maybe allow it to transfer your character from a server that's WoW Vanilla or Vanilla WoW to right before BC came out, so you experience all of that world content.
All the events.
All the old players for every game end up saying this. Oh, I wish it's the nostalgia of how it was at the beginning, but I think it's a time and place that it was at that time, not necessarily, School of Mats was the best thing ever.
No.
WoW was a new thing, and the experience was a new thing. It wasn't like the other stuff. I mean,
you're saying even if they do it, we can't go back and capture
right,
that moment.
You can't go back. You know, you can't.
I would agree with you in that, like, okay, GoldenEye for N64 is very much that game where you remember playing GoldenEye, just to turn a phrase, we remember playing GoldenEye, and it was awesome.
You remember having tons of fun.
And it was great. And then you play it now. You get GoldenEye, and you get an N64, and you hook it up to that one TV that's still old, and you're like, how did I enjoy this? Like, this is horrible. This is like four triangles.
Well, it's obviously because you don't have the golden gun.
Well, obviously.
Yeah, that's why.
But in WoW,
engage paintball mode?
What I wanted to recapture was the fact that I am experiencing this world event, and they don't do that much anymore. I am experiencing content that it's telling the story, and it is a theme park MMO.
I want to go back and wipe my memory.
That would be the only way you could enjoy it.
I want to be immersed. Yeah. Immersed.
Meet me in the back alley immersed. After the show. I'll help you out.
I just want to get in this world. I feel it anew.
I've actually gone back in the last few weeks and gone and played on a free shard for Dark Age of Camelot because that was my juice, my game. You know, if I haven't gotten that across to you yet, that was the best game.
I caught on, Russell.
I heard it was good for PvP, sort of.
Yeah, I heard it was kind of crappy.
I mean, they rolled it back and said, you know, okay, first expansion, start here, level it up. That's all there is. There's no, you know, everybody says that Dark Age of Camelot went downhill when Trials of Atlantis came out, the second expansion. I didn't mind it. It was a lot of PvE, but it gave you a lot of cool toys to play with. But this is before that. And the grind, you know, they've done little tweaks on this Genesis server to make it easier to level if you're in a full group. But, I mean, I want to go RVR. I want to go PvP. I want to go do the cool stuff that I remember, not the you know, kill something 32 times.
You don't want the game as it was originally. You want the experience that you enjoyed out of the game, but not all the experiences you didn't.
And I think if you went back to WoW and did that again, you'd be like, oh my God, I have to turn in 4,000 spleens to gain a level. You know,
that's exactly how I felt playing this vanilla server. It's much harder level.
I don't want the time sink, like the time gates, because that's all they are. They're time gates. Do this for 8 hours, and eventually, if you dedicate 8 hours of your time, then you'll go to this next part where you can dedicate 10 hours of your time, and then you'll go to this piece of story, and then 8 hours later, more
story. But that's what early WoW was right. So all those time sinks.
I would not want to play WoW, vanilla WoW, as it was. I would want Blizzard to take what they've learned, and I want them to
redesign.
I would want them to rejigger all of the server
put
the world back together, put the content back there, and work on revitalizing WoW as it was in vanilla, story and content and experience wise, but not the grind fest that it was, and now that it really isn't. You know, before there was no buffs to experience points gain. You couldn't get more experience than like 1x experience.
You got rested XP.
Right. And that was capped off way more. I don't know. I feel like that's what we've talked about. That would be an awesome idea in theory.
I don't think it would work in your head the way that you
it wouldn't work in real life.
Yeah, it wouldn't work how it does in your head. It's this idyllic picture. I think all the players that played at the beginning that are at the end stage.
I guess that's the definition of a bitter vet, right? That's like what a bitter vet is. Back in my day, 10 years ago.
It's like back before they had super capitals, you know, everything was much cooler. It's the same idea.
One of the best parts about playing WoW was being able to experience their multiplayer version of Warcraft.
Right.
Right.
Because, I mean, the whole reason I like playing WoW is
I heard that you could play Warcraft.
I love Warcraft
kind
3.
Kind of, but with other people.
And now this is a
There's online lore?
Oh, yeah.
I just thought I was there to kill people and make kids cry that lived in the basement.
I thought that's what Tribes was
for. It's a huge story. I love their lore. I love their story. And then as the expansions came out and rolled out, I'm like, oh, I remember this from Warcraft 2. I remember this from Warcraft 3. This is amazing.
I was never happier than when they came out with the add-ons, the Quest Helper add-ons. Yeah. You didn't actually have to read what the quest was. You just go collect 25 spleens and run back here.
I use that now. I use Zygor's quest guide, and it practically just gives you an arrow. It says, go here, do this, kill this, bring it back here. It's optimized. It's mathematically, like, you know, theory crafted around this is the most perfect way to level, to get out of this zone, to get to end game, to do the stories, to go see the world, to find the pets, to battle the things, to get the, you know, Maleficent.
You take these skills for granted. New people who are playing WoW, and they're like asking me, like, how do I complete this quest? I'm like, have you read it?
Right, yeah, that's the one thing that I remember. I remember not knowing you could turn on instant quest text, and it would scroll very slowly down. It would like unfade, like reveal itself, and I would read every word, and I would remember. I remember saying it in like a old British accent in my head, like the characters would talk in the game.
I think I played for a month before I realized you could drink and eat at the same time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I remember playing with my friend and
it says that now when you log in, it's like, did you know that you can drink and eat at the same time? Like, it says that it's actually like a loading screen.
Playing with my friend, he was new, and he'd be running and be running, and he'd stop and he'd say something to us, and he'd start running and start running. And we're like, Tim, you can hit numlock and it'll run for you.
It's like auto run
for you. And now he learned he can run and talk.
Right.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
the things you learn playing MMOs.
There are a lot of MMOs coming out, though. There's WildStar. There's Star Citizen might as well be an MMO. It's like this always-on universe, and there are a ton of games coming out like that. But we're out of time. We'll have to talk about those some other time. Thank you so much, Russell and Cap, for being on the show. It was really awesome to have like more than just us here.
You're welcome.
Had fun.
You really changed the way the show works. I feel like
you added two old people.
If I cried at all, I would cry now, because this is like really, it's awesome.
If you're going to talk about old stuff, you have to have old people.
We have to have old people in order to talk about, you know what, you're not old, you're experienced.
Exactly.
And
you've leveled up.
You've picked the perfect place to share your experience.
I'm a bitter vet.
Yep, you are a bitter vet. Apparently, I'm partially a bitter vet with WoW, so who knew? We are going to end the night with Ludo Lake Pontchartrain. Before we do, Bear, what's the website?
That's exppoints.com. Always double tap that P.
Like I said at the beginning of the show, you can go /Twitter/Facebook/Steam/Google+. Remember, it's Google and then the plus sign, and /YouTube. So exppoints.com/any of those things, and you will get to the social media version of whatever you're trying to search for.
You can just go to exppoints.com and click the social media.
Oh, yeah, you can scroll to the bottom of the page. We're always posting new stuff there, so it's pretty cool that
you
go.
Like typing.
Yep. So that's the show. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
I'm Cap.
I'm Russell.
And this is Ludo Lake Pontchartrain on Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM.
KSLU.
Yeah.